Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of That 80s Child, The Generation Y, and my name is Gabrielle. In this episode, number 49, I hope you guys are ready for the live that is coming on the 25th. I will be posting that on YouTube as a premiere and on my social medias if anybody checks any of those. I have my author page and I have a That 80s Child podcast thing for Facebook because I'm old. And I actually have an Instagram as well, and I do have a Twitter/X thing, but I never use it, so I have to start kind of pushing that again, because if I want to be seen or I want to be heard, I really need to, like, market and, you know, just really piss poor doing that. So thank you, everybody, who has actually found me naturally without me doing diddly squat, really. So in this episode, I want to talk about the books of our childhood. Now, I say our, and I'll, like, as in you and me, but I know that some of the stuff that I might have read or not read may not be the ones that you read. These are not books that were published in the 90s. These are just that were made famous or just became popular. Some of them were obviously done specifically in the 90s. So just to give you an idea, which I already think I've said multiple times in other podcasts, that I was not a huge reader in school. And I think much to my mom's dismay, who is a avid reader, like, she would get very much immersed that if you talked to her while she was reading a book, forget it. She didn't hear you. She was not going to hear you until she closed that book. And I know my dad hated it when they'd be out in the living room and just... My dad would be watching something, and it was like for us to be watching everybody together, me being a big proponent of, like, family time, and then my mom sitting there with the equivalent of a phone in front of her face, which is just her reading a book. But if it wasn't something that she wanted to watch, but she still wanted to be there, my dad would watch and my mom would be reading. But if my dad made a comment, forget it. My mom, one, she's not watching it, and two, she's not listening to you. So, like I said, much to my mom's dismay, I wasn't very much of a reader. Now, I don't think she necessarily was, like, upset about it, but I think she was just surprised that I just didn't naturally become a reader. It's not that I can't read. I just didn't want to. Nothing held my attention enough to keep me going, because I was... Especially when I was a little kid, not so much now, I was constantly moving around, and we had a lot of space. I was always outside. There was no time for me sitting reading a book, but I also didn't realize what books had to offer as well. There was a lot more expanse to it than what school was forcing me to read. So, like, things back in the day where you had to read, like, The Hatchet, The Pearl. I'm not saying these are bad books, but they weren't something that I would have naturally gravitated to. It was stuff that was kind of forced upon me. Like, we all had to read. We had summer reading lists. You would get the Pizza Hut things if you, you know, read this. I never did that. We very rarely, or at all, really went to Pizza Hut. There really wasn't one near us, as far as I can remember. We had a Domino's. But yeah, not Pizza Hut. So, again, we were diners. We're in Jersey. You go to the diner, okay? We would get sent home with the reading books, the reading lists for the books that we have to read for the summer. I didn't read any of them. I literally just had a conversation with my son about that, because he's like, oh, do you want to watch Gladiator? And I was like, nah, I don't really want to watch. He was just, because it was like advertised up somewhere, and I was like, nah, I don't really want to watch. So I had to read that in high school for English, and he's like, oh, how was it? And I'm like, I don't know, I never read it. I think I passed the test only because I think my mom read it and she gave me, like, a rundown, kind of like the Cliff Notes, you know, that they'd give you out. So, because my mom was, like, a super, super fast reader. I'm like, just give me the main points and the overall gist of the story and I should be okay for the test. Which, funny thing is that I went to school, I went back to college for English, for writing, for communication. And most of my middle school, I would say 6th, 7th, and 8th grade for reading and English. I did well. I was fine with the basics, but when I had to do, like, for book reports, I didn't do any of those. Sorry. None of those were mine. There were a few books that I did read, so we'll go from there. So my brother is a big reader. I don't know if he still reads. I want to say that he is. He does, but I'm not, you know, life. I know how it can be. But at least when he was younger, he was the reader. So my mom had somebody who could, you know, that he also read and consumed books as quickly and as passionately as she did. Me being wanting to be a writer as well, which is like, it's just freaking, you know, I don't understand myself. So I was more like my dad. He would read the Reader's Digest. He would make everybody listen to the funny area, like the funny parts, the humor section in the Reader's Digest. Coin World, because he was a coin collector, so he had to get the paper that would give you the prices and special die-struck coins that might have been found, a rare find, rare dates, how to grade. That's how I learned. That's my dad taught me. So I never really saw him with a novel. I'm sure he's read them, or he had read them in the past. I can't ask him now, obviously. I can't even ask my mom about that. But I guess I could ask my step-siblings, but that's way too much effort. Yeah, maybe he did, but I never saw him read anything of consequence other than like the paper, or like I said, Coin World or the Reader's Digest. That's really the extent to. Oh, he had the carpentry, he had the woodworking things, but he was into carpentry, so I guess it was just like ideas, more for like ideas. It wasn't for there for consumption of, you know, fantasy land stuff. So what I did read. Now, I always said his name, Roald Dahl, but I looked up the pronunciation, and it's supposed to be Roald Dahl. Roald Dahl. The D is silent in his first name. So I'm sorry for the years and years and years of me saying it incorrectly. So it's Roald Dahl. Matilda, the Twits, the Witches, James and the Giant Peach, the BFG, all of those. Now, they were not published in the 90s, but they became popular because of the movies that came out. Obviously, The Witches, excellent movie, not the remake. Don't ever watch remakes. They're stupid most of the time. But the one with, like, Angelica Houston, you can't go wrong with that. Come on now. The Twits, they never made into a movie, but I think they should, honestly. I did love that book. It was a small one. It's a short book. It's like a novella, more like. It's not so much like a long, long story, but I liked it. Matilda, obviously, excellent movie. They did that movie or the book well. There were some changes, but obviously, I don't think I've ever seen it. Maybe Pride and Prejudice, the 1995 version with Colin Firth. That is pretty much word for word. Actually, they did an excellent job keeping that to spec. But yeah, for the most part, when you anything that gets transferred over, there's going to be some differences, whether it be because they felt like it didn't translate very well to screen. I'm not entirely sure, because I feel like books are really great roadmaps for a movie. But maybe it's just because maybe they can't, I don't know, the imagination can't translate to screen. You know, and it's hard to do because you're going off of somebody else's interpretation. So, you know. Anywho. So yeah, anything by Roald Dahl. Obviously Willy Wonka and the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Charlie and the Glass Elevator. So I legitimately read all of those books. I loved his writing style. I liked the absurdity of a lot of the things. It was really well done. It kept me engaged in the book. And I think I've read The Witches probably the most out of all of those books. It's one of my favorite books. I know it's a kid's book, but it's still great. The Last Unicorn and A Fine and Private Place by Peter S. Beagle. There was the animated movie, The Last Unicorn. If you've not seen that, obviously go and see that. It's excellent. The book is very good. And A Fine and Private Place, actually, my friend from high school had to read it in her English class. I didn't have to read it. And she had to actually have like a poem written for something that had to be written for class. And she didn't have it done. So I said, I'll write it. You know, because I was in high school, poetry was my language. That's symbolism. Anything that could make my simple ass boring existence a little bit less bland is where the poetry came into play. And I loved symbolism, I loved imagery, I loved description. So I actually joined the one and the only thing that I ever did in high school was go join the literary magazine, but I very rarely went because I didn't like staying after school, which I think I've mentioned before. So but I did actually submit things for the literary magazine. I don't know if we ever did. I ever get a copy of it? Anyhow, so I wrote the poem for my friend regarding this. And I just said, give me a rundown as to what this book is. And I found it fascinating and I wanted to read it. So I actually went out and bought the book. I still have it. I've reread it recently, actually. A Fine and Private Place is an excellent story. Well, like, I think it's because it's very descriptive, but not like ridiculously so, but it's well balanced. Mr. Beagle, you're awesome, okay? And I think he's still around. I follow a page on Facebook because that's one of my favorite, like, ever since then. Like, it wasn't even something I had to necessarily read on my own, but I just chose to read it, which was awesome, which was great for me because I just didn't read. So anytime that I made any effort to be like, wait a second, I actually really want to read this. So yeah, so Last Unicorn, Find a Private Place. And again, I believe the reason why, like, even though Matilda, the Twits, the Witches, they were not published in the 90s, but because of the movies became so popular, that's like it just was within the mainstream again. So, and I'm glad because, you know, I always loved Willy Wonka Gene Wilder. So that was like one of my favorite movies growing up anyhow. So I knew of it. I didn't realize, obviously, because you're small, you know, at 3 years old, you're not like, is this a book? You know, it's so when I found out, and I actually went back and I read them, there's actually quite a few different series of them. It's not just Willy Wonka and the Chocolate. It's like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, or it's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Charlie and the Glass Elevator, which they have like this whole thing about, you know, at the end of it with the glass elevator, there's a whole book about it. So I had a score of Goosebumps books because my mom absolutely loved ordering from the Scholastic Book Club. So anytime we would get those passed out, those little, like, newspaper type 3 to 4 page order forms that you could go and pick out through, which I loved going through. And don't get me wrong, I'm still like every, like, these book talk people who, like, if you go to a bookstore, I will buy a book. I will not read it, but I will buy books until the cows come home because I find them fascinating. I find the ideas that are there, it's just getting through them, because sometimes the ideas are great, but maybe they just, and I mean no disrespect to any author, the fact that you have something published, I don't. So congrats to you and kudos, because I'm not even anywhere close to that, where I maybe, but I'm not going to say anything about that now. But you know, again, it's all about a perspective, opinion, your own tastes. So what book you might find fascinating, like, all right, so just case in point, gonna go on a side note. Sorry, the last couple of my podcasts have kind of gone off the rails a little bit. But let me know if that's something that you'd be interested in. It's a lot more about, like, my own stupid life. But I joined Goodreads because a friend on Facebook posted they had like a, they wanted to read so many books. So they had a challenge for themselves. And then like in December or like in the new year, they're like, okay, I read X amount of books this year. I'm going to try for one more or whatever. And they also have other reading challenges throughout the year. I don't really pay attention to the reading challenges in it because it's kind of like PlayStation achievement or trophies, excuse me. It's like Xbox achievements, PlayStation trophies. I'm not a trophy chaser. I play and or read for enjoyment, not just to get through something. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, as like a lot of these book talk things and the romanticies that are out now and the sheer amount of them is like ridiculous. Everybody's like reading like the Court of Thorns and Roses and all that, and then the other one was The Fourth Wing. So I read the Court of Thorns and Roses and the one after that, whatever that was called, and I attempted to read The Fourth Wing. So it's like a 490 some page book. So it's a nice size book. The first time I picked it up, I read 150 pages of it. The next time I picked it up, I maybe read like 75 more pages. So I'm probably a little over halfway done the book, but I still can't finish it. And I don't mean any disrespect to anybody, but I don't know if maybe it's just the headspace that I'm in. I'm very, 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 very highly critical of romances just because of the fact that they give you some sort of false pretense to what romance is, and it's really not, and reality is never like this, and and especially when you have like somebody like myself who has difficulty separating fantasy and reality, not in a sense of like I don't know what is reality and what is fantasy, but when your own fantasy life is better than your reality, it's, you know, it's sad. So you get sad, you get depressed, and when you read these books, it doesn't make it any better. So I read them because people are like gushing about them, and there's dragons in it, for Christ's sake. I love dragons. But even the fact that there's dragons in it couldn't keep me engaged enough. And like I said, I am very particular about what I read, and I am very, very highly critical of romance novels. So setting that aside, I'm not saying the book is bad. It's just it's still sitting there. I'm not finished it yet. I went back to another. I'm reading a teen, like a YA freaking, it's called Crescendo, which is the second book to Hush Hush, which is about angels. And it's a love story about for teenagers, for Christ's sake. However, again, like I said, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just the writing style, because I also like Alex Harrow, who has a bunch of books out. Love them. Except for one, Fractured Fables. Don't like it. That's me. Anyhow, even if it's popular, doesn't mean I'm going to like it. Again, it's very perspective and opinion oriented in what your likes and dislikes. So anyhow, what the fuck was I talking about? So the Scholastic Book Club, my mom, that's why I just buy books, because I'm pretty much my mother, unfortunately, in certain circumstances. She would just buy a whole slew of books and say they were for me, and I know like the few that she actually went back to read, and I would have like, I had a slew of books in my room. Never read a single one of them except the Roald Dahl. The Witches was like my, like I said, and The Fine and Private Place. Those are the two that I would, you know, go back to if I felt the need to be literary, you know, like to go back and read something. So yeah, the Goosebumps books, and I watched the show. Mind you, I actually was afraid of the dark when I was little. I'm not afraid of the dark now, but if I go and see a horror movie now, the dark does scare me. I have a very overactive imagination. So, you know, if you stare at something in the dark for long enough and things like start, like, I'm like, what is that? Is something moving? Do I need to turn my light on? How old am I? I'm not thinking there's a demon or anything. It's just more of like, you know, if I hear something like somebody breaking in, like, you know, it's more of a reality based stuff, but it's sparked because I'm like on alert of perhaps there is a demon. I don't know. So Goosebumps by R.L. Stine. Not necessarily like the creepiest of things, but in the day, like, it was pretty creepy. And it was kind of like a modern-esque 90s tween style type Twilight Zone-ish. You know, it's Twilight Zone-esque because there was like weird circumstances that happen. And do you remember that show, Erie, Indiana? It kind of had that same type of vibe, just weird shit happening randomly. Goosebumps, I really didn't read any of them, but I had pretty much all of them. They got ruined, unfortunately. These are one of the things that was put into our basement, into boxes, and our basement would frequently flood. And when I say frequently, it wasn't that frequently, but frequent enough that things got ruined, and they eventually, it was just moldy at that point and got thrown away. So I don't have any of my original Goosebumps books, which is a shame, just for the sake of nostalgia and having ancient history at this point, I guess. But I could go and buy them if I really wanted to, but it's really not that important to me. I have other things that I would prefer to get instead, like my Gem and the Holograms dolls that I had. I'm pissed that I don't have that anymore. So yeah, so the Goosebumps books, again, didn't read any of them, but I had them because my mom had a penchant for wanting to buy everything that was on the Scholastic Book Club. If you ever wanted to buy everything on the Scholastic Book Club, or you had like the book fair times, you would want somebody like my mother who would give me the extra money for certain things. But when I would go, and for like, I loved the book fair, by the way. Again, like I said, doesn't matter if I read or don't read the things, I'm going to buy them anyway, because they either looked good, sounded good, or I just for the sake of buying something, which is horrible, but here I am. So any of the Judy Blume books, like Super Fudge or Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing, I never read any of them. I'm pretty sure I did have Super Fudge, or maybe my brother did. I don't really know. Didn't read a single one of those. But I know that she's like the author of the time, Judy Blume. Didn't read him, sorry. But I just wasn't interested. Scary Story series by Alvin Schwartz with the creepy covers. Those I read. I think it's like I said, even though I had an issue with the dark and having an overactive imagination, I really enjoyed these stories. Maybe it was just for some, like a sick pleasure of it all, just to scare the shit out of myself. I don't know. But I did like those. And they were the creepiest of covers, you know, like super creepy. And the stories were well done. Like I got creeped out. Sideways Stories from Wayside School by Lewis Sacker. Sorry. My introduction to this was in fifth grade when my teacher, Miss Kane, which I mentioned in the Catholic school days when I had the good teachers and the bad teachers. And not a lot of people liked Miss Kane. I didn't have a problem with her at all, to be honest with you. She didn't bother me. I don't know what bothered people about her, but... So she would read to us on certain days, like it could be Friday or like in the afternoon, and she would read us the Wayside School. And I loved it. It was like, it was great. I loved the books. I looked forward to the next story. I actually eventually did, I think, get one or two of the books from the Scholastic Book Club because I told my mom, like, yeah, we did. She read these to us. I kind of like to have them. Don't have them anymore, unfortunately. I saw on Amazon they had like the whole collection. I was like, maybe, but it was like just a little too expensive for me to be like, I'm not gonna sit there and read them right away anyway. I have so many books I have to read, so you know. But it's on my list. Where the Sidewalk Ends or A Light in the Attic. Now I had both of those. That's the reason why I mentioned there's a bunch of other ones by Shel Silverstein. Though I think those will always be a staple even today, just because it was like short prose of kind of like very deep, not kind of like deep meanings of life and how things, it was just, it was interesting. And I also the illustrations on that were pretty cool. You know what would have been cooler is if they did Edward Gorey, because some of the, especially with the Scary Stories one, been perfect. Anyway, I love Edward Gorey. If you don't know about his stuff, please look it up. If you watched a Mystery or with Vincent Price, and they had the beginning where they had the animated, was had Edward Gorey stuff on there. Anyway, I have a tattoo by Edward Gorey, for Edward Gorey. He didn't do it on my leg. That would be weird. He was dead, I think. So, but I have one. So yeah, Where the Sidewalk Ends and A Light in the Attic. So I have both of those. They were hardbound books. Don't have them anymore. They're gone. Don't know what happened to those. And I might want to get those just because I did really like the they were just really well done. So they're all poems. So again, like I said, in high school, I was very much into free-form poetry. As when it came to like symbolism, descriptions, it was a way of getting a lot of stuff out. And it was short form, so I didn't have to sit there and be like, okay, novel time, or even journaling. I'll tell you what, this is why I think I have a problem like finishing anything that I've written, because I myself get bored, or, you know, not so much bored, but that's another problem. Like, if I'm bored, everybody else will be bored, so why bother finishing it? I'm in like a cycle right now, but what I'm currently writing, I'm not bored at. It's just more of like, would anybody care? So I think I've graduated a little bit into thinking that it's not boring, but would anybody be interested in reading it? So little introspection on my lack of writing process. All right, so where the sidewalk ends. There's a place where the sidewalk ends, and before the street begins. And there the grass grows soft and white, and there the sun burns crimson bright. And there the moon bird rests from his flight to cool in the peppermint wind. So when I do poetry, I have a few that rhyme. I have a few that are like haiku, like the specific formats to poetry. But majority of mine are free form, because I believe in just the description and getting everything out. And I have not, especially stuff in high school, I really didn't sit there and like, oh, this is going to be for my poetry book, so therefore I'm going to go through 5 million edits. Once it was written, I was done. So everything I have that's from school, that are in my books, in my journals, in printed out things from back in the day. It's not, they're not like edited down. They're pretty raw out there. If ever I wanted to actually go back and be like, hey, maybe people will be interested in this. Maybe I'd actually, you know, straighten it up a little bit. But so yeah, Where the Sidewalkins. Very good. Probably where I really got into the whole idea of the poetry. I think that's kind of where it sparked, obviously. And then school and English and just the feelings and the writing process and stuff like that, you know? So books that were popular, but I never got into, like The Babysitter's Club by Ann Martin. I never babysat, so therefore I had nothing to kind of like, I had nothing that was the same as these characters in the book. So there was nothing that tied me to them where I didn't have anything to relate to with these people, with the characters or whatever. So Babysitter's Club. I didn't want to be a babysitter. I never did babysitting. Wasn't interested in it. Whether or not, I'm sure there was way more in that than just the babysitting. But there was all the, what was it, the horse club thing? You would think I would be interested in that. I think there was like a whole horse club thing or whatever. I don't recall it. But again, I wasn't a huge reader. So why am I doing a podcast about it? There's other books I've read, okay? So let me just, and I did actually read all of the Roald Dahl books, so, and The Wayside School. So I did read, it's just not everything. One of the people I went to school with was doing, she actually got in contact with the author, Ann Martin, for the Babysitter's Club. And they were going to do like sort of a nostalgia, retro Babysitter's Club book club thing or whatever, just a one-time thing. And I was invited, and this was after I had, was it? No, I don't think it was before, I think it was before we moved. But I chickened out going, mainly because I didn't want to go if there was going to be other girls there that I went to school with. I didn't really want to. There was like a reunion too not that long ago, and I really had no want to be involved in that because there was nothing in my high school career and school career in general that I wanted to revisit. The only thing I would want to revisit, there's a certain circumstances that happened in and around, but not at school. School could, as far as I could, just go away and just not exist. I'd prefer it that way. So yeah, I feel bad because there was another thing that she actually set up that I said I would try and, I should just not say that I'm going and just be like, if, just don't go because I'm not gonna go. So I chickened out because I just didn't want to deal with it, and I dealt with it enough in school, and I'm in my life now, and I, you know, whether or not it was going to happen, it's just like this consistent fear. So anytime anybody does anything that's from school and in around school, that anything, even connection to, I'm like, nah, I'm good. So leave me alone. I don't exist to you. Just pretend I don't exist to you. That would be good. Okay. Anyhow, so yeah, that's pretty much my, so she did this whole thing, but she actually contacted the author. The author actually sent some like tchotchke stuff for the thing. Again, I didn't read them, so I would be an imposter into the Babysitter's Book Club thing anyway, because I didn't read it, and I never cared to read it. So I don't even think I owned them. And if I did, it was because my mom bought it by accident or thought I liked it. I don't know. The Giver by Lois Lowry. I didn't read this book, but I want to read this book. It had like a Caldecott award on it. It was, I want to say it was within 6th or 7th grade. That my reading teacher, Miss Riley, who eventually became some other Miss Moscow, she got married. So when she got married, her whole appearance changed. It was so weird. Anyway, she became somebody else, that's for sure. So anyway, when she gave this dude that I know his name, but I'm not going to say it, that she gave him this book to read because he was apparently like an advanced reading level. And because I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm like, God, because I liked to write. I just wasn't a reader. And I'm like, why didn't she give me the opportunity of reading this book? I'm not going to read it. That's why. So I was always interested in what this book was about. Never read it. I might just do it just for shits and giggles, just to be like, yeah, I mean, what was so, because I feel like he used it as a, you know, maybe he was just as much of a nerd anyhow, but like, look, I'm like advanced and I'm reading this book while you guys are reading some subpar children's book, you know. All right, guy, let fuck off. But yeah, I still haven't read it, so obviously not that important, but I remember that happening. Tuck Everlasting by Natalie Babbitt. I did read that book, and I read it for English class, and I loved it. I know that there's a movie that came out, but I never watched it. If any of you watched it, is it worth seeing? Have you read the book? And is it worth, you know? So I think it was Mrs. Lyons, she had us read Tuck Everlasting and I Am the Cheese. Oh my God, both of those. Tuck Everlasting was excellent. I Am the Cheese is psychologically scarring, you know? Like, if you've ever read that, who wrote that? I don't want to be like, by Robert Cormier. And there's a movie about it. I think the kid that's from E.T., the older brother's in it. It's a young adult novel by Robert Cormier. Give me a freaking rundown. So the novel opens up with protagonist Adam Farmer biking from his home in the fictional town of Monument, Massachusetts, based on Cormier's hometown of Leominster, Massachusetts, to visit his father in the fictional town of Rutterburg, Vermont. The story alternates with transcripts of tapes between a subject and a doctor, Brent. The subject receives psychotherapy and is interrogated by Brent. I'm not going to go in, like, if you've never read it, there's like a twist at the end. Like, it sticks with me. It has still stuck with me to this day. So I Am the Cheese by Robert Cormier. If you ever, what was the other one? The other one. She had us read some really good books. Good for you, Mrs. Lyons. Thank you so much. It's a short story called Flowers for Algernon by Daniel Keyes. And there's the movie called Charlie. I thought the book was called Charlie. No, the movie is called Charlie. And the actual, who played Cliff Robertson, whom I love. Cliff Robertson, if you don't know who he is, whatever. It was from 1968. That is also a heart-wrenching, like, good. And it was a short story. Excellent. I might have to like reread that. Flowers for Algernon. Let me write that down. I've seen the movie Charlie. I think we actually saw it in, like, we watched it after we read it, as is usually the case, and they wheel everything in with the TV, you know, the wheel stand. So definitely check that out if you haven't. I loved it. When did the actual book come out? So Flowers for Algernon. They made another film. They actually made another Flowers for Algernon. It's an American-Canadian television film from 2000. I'm sorry, just watch the 1968 version with Cliff Robertson. Okay, I'm not trying to say anything bad about this. This might be good. I haven't seen it, but I love the Charlie's great. So just FYI, I don't care about the movie. I just want to know the book. When did that come out? 1959. Cool. All right, so Flowers for Algernon, excellent. Daniel Keyes, check it if you've not read it. And read it first, please. Same with I Am the Cheese. We watched both of those movies. Again, The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath. Oh, my Lord. So if you want to watch any, like, I love the psychological stuff. It's, like, I love psychology in general. I have a minor in it. Flowers for Algernon, I Am the Cheese, and The Bell Jar. Read them. Excellent books. Excellent. I didn't even write down The Bell Jar, which I probably should have, but yeah, I didn't. I didn't. So here we are. Animorphs. Getting a little off the beaten path with these other books, but Animorphs. As we all know, there's some questionable covers on those. One of them being the Starfish Girl, I believe, because they have the weird transition from human to animal, so they have like the five or six different versions of the kid changing into, so they're kind of creepy. But I had the books. I think I might even still have one or two because my brother read them, but I watched the show and I believe it had both, one of them for sure, the Sean Ashmore, but they had both of the Ashmore twins in there, but I believe Sean Ashmore was the main one. I think I could be Aaron, I don't know. If you know who the Ashmore twins are, I'm sorry. If you don't, oh well, look it up. If you watched the X-Men, where it's like the Iceman dude, that's Sean Ashmore. If you watched Warehouse 13, Aaron Ashmore was in Warehouse 13. Love that show. I know some people have done like YouTube videos on the Animorphs and how weird it was. But it was the story and the show were actually pretty cool, just because it was off the beaten path a little bit and just different. So I think I enjoyed that. I should have read the books. I think I probably would have enjoyed them unless they were boring. I'm not sure. No offense to Catherine Applegate who wrote them. But yeah, maybe you should have like looked into doing a little bit of a different cover for it. But you know, whatever. Hey, here we are. Nobody would be still talking about it if you didn't. So hey, here you are. So these aren't kids' books. They're not like tweens, teen books at the time. But the ones that I actually read, and one of them was a book report that I actually read, Galora by Anne McCaffrey. So if you know Anne McCaffrey, most of her, what she's big for is the Dragon Riders of Pern, which is from my mom's collection. She has pretty much every single one of them. And the Kalora, though, was a shorter story about this, you know, alien world that we're on. And they have these entities that create the fabric and the clothes that they wear from, like, and they create these beautiful pieces, right? And they're called the Kalora. And the girl, I believe, came from poverty, but was raised, like, she's beautiful or whatever, and she was able to, like, control the color or something like that. I haven't read it in years. This was from, like, sixth and seventh grade, so the fact that I'm, like, recalling at least that much, I should have probably looked up, like, a summary of it. But it wasn't her basic, she always has very science fiction-based stuff. She's very science fiction-based. And the Dragon Riders of Pern have, like, they're always, it's on Pern, okay? It's on an alien planet, not of our own, you know. She built these worlds, which is awesome. So if you like dragons, check out Anne McCaffrey stuff. And the Kaloria, not about dragons, is interesting if you want a separate story, but with her writing style, which is pretty good. Like, I haven't read a lot of her other books. I should. I have almost all of them because of my mom's collection. So, yeah. And I did a book report on that. That one I actually did. That one I actually wrote. So, go me. The Mummy, or Ramses the Damned, by Anne Rice. I almost lied. I read, this is one of two and a half books that I've read from Anne Rice. You know, you would think I would would read more of Anne Rice's books because I like vampires. I was very much into like the whole goth scene back in the day, and I didn't dress like a goth, but I liked it. You know, I just didn't embody it. I just enjoyed the aesthetic, but didn't implement it. I don't know how to explain that, but yeah. Anyway, you would think that I would be like completely into everything that's Anne Rice related, and you know, I watched Interview with the Vampire when it came out. I watched anything. Did she have anything else? I watched Interview with Vampire, and my mom told me about a lot of the other books. And so Mummy, or Ramses the Damned, is not like, you know, the Brendan Fraser The Mummy, or the mummies from like back in the day, the Universal Monster. It's not the Universal Monsters one. I don't know why my mom allowed me to, like, well, you know what? These past couple of weeks, where I've been traveling down memory lane for something that I'm writing a creative nonfiction piece, memoir-esque style, but with, actually, I just found out a new term that I didn't even realize I was doing, and it's metafictional techniques. So I didn't even realize I was utilizing said metafictional techniques, not metaphysical. Metafictional techniques. There are literary tools that make the reader aware that they're reading a constructed story. So I find that fascinating. When you're doing creative nonfiction pieces, it's based off of your own memories, but you know how memories are. And when you say creative, you're adding description, you're adding some layers to it, and you're telling a story so that it unfolds. It's not just blips and bits of fractured memories. It's a story. So you're adding in some symbolic descriptions to help move the story along, as well as bringing in some other aspects of it. But I didn't realize that it's stuff that I was doing, because it says it's storytelling that knows it's storytelling, and it often breaks traditional narrative rules in clever or self-aware ways. Which, when I went through, because I had to like look it up, because I was looking at other books that are in that same vein to see if this was something worth my time, because again, I always like question myself as if it's good enough. We're talking about books, so why not talk about the one I'm writing? So I was looking at other books that are in the same vein. And one of the things that it said in the description, it was just like, uses metafictional techniques and symbolic metaphors. I know what symbolic metaphors are, but I'm like, metafictional techniques? Like, what the hell is that? And it's like breaking the fourth wall, story about storytelling, fragmented or nonlinear structure, multiple versions of the same event, which I haven't done, but use of found text, mixed media, which I think I might do. I don't know. It's interesting. Fun fact. All right. So, yeah. So, The Mummy, Ramses the Dam. I don't know why my mom allowed me to read this, because it's pretty much reading like some sort of porn book. There are sections in it that have sections in it. And I enjoyed the book. I read it all the way through. I attempted to read The Witching Hour. Couldn't get through it. It was a little too much for me. Because I was watching Mayfair Witches. So the Mayfair Witches, I was watching that. I'm like, I should read the books. And I'm like, you know what? I'll just watch the show. But there's a lot of variations to the show and the book, by the way. Just FYI, if you read the books, it's not going to be anything like the show. There's so much that they've changed, but here we are. Same with Interview with a Vampire. I'm not even going to go there. So I couldn't get through that, but I got through majority of it. I'll just say that. And the other book I read was Vittorio, which is a vampire book, and I read that because somebody wanted me to read it with them, so I did. At the time, I wasn't too thrilled with it, but it wasn't that bad. Like, it was a good story. I read it all the way through. It's a smaller novel. It's not the hugest thing. So I wasn't too concerned when the person's like, I'm reading this book, and I'm like, and then he's like, you should read it too, and I'm like, should I? And I did. I attempted to read The Stand by Stephen King. Have you seen The Stand? Have you seen any of his novels? It and The Stand, I swear to God, are the three times the size of the Bible. So I attempted to try reading The Stand. Couldn't. And I mean no disrespect for Stephen King. He's an excellent writer. It's a little much for me. Maybe I have to just find a different story. Maybe just those ones don't work for me. I like to read the Shawshank Redemption. I believe that was part of Short Stories, though. And last, but certainly not least, Hotel Transylvania by Chelsea Quinn Yarbrough. Again, I love vampires. I loved vampires. I still like vampire stuff. I'm not Twilight vampire person, but I am very much Anne Rice vampire person. So they don't sparkle. They die in the sun. So just so you know. Yeah, Hotel Transylvania is a historical fiction. Chelsea Quinn Yarbrough is very much into historical fiction. Sometimes to the detriment of the story. Now, I love history. That's why I love her stuff, because it does intertwine true events with fictional ones. So you're learning a little bit about like ancient Greece or ancient Macedonia or something like that. It depends on where Hotel Transylvania is in a series of books on the vampire Saint-Germain. So if you want to read any of her stuff, please, Hotel Transylvania, at least like if you want to start anywhere, start there. I have another one that's called Come Twilight. I have a bunch of other ones that are specifically by her, but the Come Twilight, and then there was Roman Dusk that I also read. Roman Dusk was better, but Come Twilight, Lord have mercy. I was reading Saint-Germain as the vampire, but in a history textbook from some advanced history lesson that I was lost, actually, more in the history than the actual fictional story that was going on. So I'm not trying to say it's bad. I finished it, but it was rough. It was a rough go. But she is very much into historical fiction. So if you are into that, check Chelsea Quinn Yarbrough out. She has some really awesome stories, Hotel Transylvania being one of them. So, yeah. So, I say I didn't read a lot, but I think I did read, more than I assumed. Just, I wasn't, like, my mom. Maybe I'm just versing, like, going against what my mom read. So, my mom read, like, multiple books a month. Multiple books. Now, she was a stay-at-home mom, so also time, right? But I, last year, which I was home for like half of it because I was taking care of my mother, I read 17 books in a year. I've never read more than three in a year. I think more if that, you know. So 17 was a lot, but I was home for 6 months of that. So I read majority of them in those 6 months, actually. I also read to her, which made it, it helped. So yeah. So this year, I think I'm on book number 6 currently, starting as of January. So that's not too bad. And The Fourth Wing will be the 7th if ever I freaking finish it, but it's still sitting there. It may all continually sit there. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm going to try. It's just, I just think it might be also my headspace. I've been, especially with what I've been writing recently, I've been going down some memories that are not always nostalgic tones of sepia and Polaroid film. Let me just put it that way. So our books of our childhood, or my childhood anyway, but I know that some of these probably you also came across, whether it be for school or the Scholastic Book Club or the fair, whatever. You know, what books did you read? Did you read the Goosebumps? Did you have every single one of them? Did you have a parent like my mom where it was just like, let me just buy everything and then you have a whole shit ton of books that you don't read? Or did you read? Were you a big reader? I'm sure there were, you know. Did you get your coupons from Pizza Hut and stuff like that? I didn't, but we didn't have one nearby that I knew of. My dad or my parents just didn't give a shit, so I don't know. Beyond that, though, I wasn't winning any awards for reading, that's for sure. But I did have my fair share of, I did read, just not to my mom's level. But yeah, there's some of these I might actually go back to check out, especially that the I Am the Cheese and Flowers for Algernon and the Bell Jar. I think those three, I don't have them, and I think those three would probably be a good part of the collection because they're good books. I really enjoyed them. All right, so if you have anything to add, what did you read? Did you read any of these? Did I miss it? I'm sure I missed a bunch. I just went off on a friggin' tangent on this, but, you know, here I am. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you will check out my live that I will be doing on the 25th. So it's the Memorial Day weekend. I'm sure people will be away. I don't personally care. I'm going to do it anyway because I'll have off the next day so I can do the live for as long as I want. 5 hours. No, I'm kidding. Probably an hour just because I go off into these. And when I, like, this is at 55 minutes. But when I edit it down, it's going to be less than that. So I'm going to hopefully have a like, not too bad because it won't be edited. And you'll see me. Okay, so then I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you check the other ones out. Go on to Spotify. If you're listening through this or Spotify, please give a follow, comment, like. YouTube, like, subscribe. You don't have to do the notifications. I don't care about that. And check my website out, GabrielleCataldi.com. And anything that's on Facebook, I'm going to try and get Instagram back up and running. I have it. I just have to, like, log back in and, like, figure out how to cumulatively post in one go because it's just a pain in the ass. And then maybe going back into X or Twitter or whatever the hell it's going to be called in the future. I was thinking about doing, like, TikToks regarding the nostalgic podcast, not TikToks as in, like, doing some whatever dance craze or cooking some shit or whatever. It's just more of, like, for the marketing part of it. But we'll see. I don't know. TikTok's successful. But anyway. So, yeah, other than that, if you enjoyed, I hope you'll check out the live, all the other episodes if you haven't already. I appreciate every single one of you. Thank you so much for listening and following and commenting. Whoever you are, thank you so much. I appreciate you all. I hope you enjoyed this episode. My name is Gabrielle, and this has been That 80s Child, The Generation Y. And I'll talk to you in the live. Bye.